Hello everyone, Dr. Julie here, and you are listening to my Coffee Chats podcast. I am a health researcher, PhD trained, and chef, self-trained, on a mission to leave the next generation and our planet a lot more of a healthier place. This is your space to ask questions on topics that no one seems to want to discuss, with information that is backed by research, along with a good dose of practical advice. Real talk, real people, real answers. This podcast is proudly sponsored for 2024 by Mimojo. Mimojo is a local New Zealand company that produces award-winning kefir, real kefir, not yogurt, which is going to help to keep your gut so nice and happy. Let's get into this week's episode. Welcome back, beautiful peeps, and happy Wednesday. Hope you're doing well at 5am club. I have to confess, my own 5am club has slipped a little while I've just been dealing with life. And just like I said on that earlier podcast about being a morning person, it's that constant tug of war of when I finally get the boys down, it's like 10 o'clock at night and I need a bit of time to put myself back together, but I also know I can't run myself into the ground getting up at 5am. And just like I mentioned also in that podcast, I'm just slowly bringing it forward again. So by the time this podcast comes out, I'm probably still up with you at 5am. However, if you are like me and kind of slip in and slip out of that, don't feel guilty. It's there for when you need it. And overall, your body clock will still oscillate somewhere around that. You know, I say not 5am, but I'm still getting up at like 6 or 6.30. But of course, that precious time of no children at 5am, there's nothing quite like it, is there? As I mentioned, it's been a time, and I actually wanted to record this podcast a couple of weeks ago, and it's still front of mind for me, so that's why I wanted to jump on in and talk about it. I've labelled it raised skirt, but it's really raised skirt and broken systems, and my gosh, I feel like I've been dealing with some broken systems as of late. So for those that do follow me on socials, I'm not talking about what I have called the very hard week. I'm not ready to yet. There'll be a time and a place for that. But this actually was a day a couple of weeks prior to this. And yes, it was involving raised skirt and daycare, but there was a much bigger picture than this. And like all things with this podcast, I just wanted to jump on and chat about it. And I will say it's very relative to my stage of life and where I'm at with parenting. But I think for those with slightly younger children, you may find bits of yourself in here, or pieces, or even just some things to actually think about. And, you know, like I glean info and insight off others that are a little bit further down the track than me, because it does. It kind of gives you pause and go, And like, it may or may not happen to you, but I'm here and I'm talking about it. And I'm also aware I haven't done any sort of preludes around gendered clothing or anything like that. So I'm kind of just going to throw you all on the deep end with this. But I mean, at the same time, I also don't want to have to do a lot of preludes with it, because at the end of the day, a skirt is a skirt. It has no gender. When, oh, when are we going to stop making certain clothing and labeling it for a particular gender, and vice versa, also going, that's only for girls and only girls can do this, or only boys can do this? The more that I get into gender research and the gendered conversation, it just makes me want to pull my hair out and also go, do you know what? There's actually bigger issues. There are actually bigger issues. I'm not saying that discussing gender and the gender conundrum is not a big issue. It is. But I'm meaning, if a child, regardless of their gender, is in a skirt, like, actually, people, come on, let's look at what's happening in the world right now. So this particular day, Ray he just wanted to wear his skirt, and it was his beautiful rainbow layered skirt that Kaz had got him for his birthday. And I did sort of just have that niggle. I mean, a gazillion years of my kids been in daycare. And I said to him, are you sure you want to wear that to daycare? Not because I didn't want him in a skirt, but because I didn't want anything to happen or to get run to it. And he was like, no, I'm happy. And so I was like, I'm going to let it go. I try and not be particular about the kids' clothing or have clothing for a certain thing. But this one was just a little bit special. And dropped him in at daycare. And I kid you not, this was just sort of an aside, but seeing as I'm here and I'm talking about relative, I took Ray in and there were a couple of boys at a table pretty much on the far side of the room. And one of them turned around and didn't say hello, didn't say anything, just turned around from his table, looked at Ray and said across the room, why is he in a skirt? And Ray sort of looked at me with these almost confused eyes. And it's one of the first times where I really felt that, are we here now? You know, Ray is four, over four. And so gender is well established. Gender norms are well established in his peer group. They are established at three and definitely by four. And I felt so sad, not for Ray. I felt sad for this other little boy because I thought at the age of four, can you imagine the conversations that must happen in his home that he must be exposed to react and respond that way, in such a abrasive way to a child that he's in daycare with, and me as an adult and a female at that. And it was the way that he said it, it was the way that he turned, it was the tone of his voice, and this is a very small child to act and respond that way. And so I just kind of, I looked at Ray and gave him a cuddle and I said, you're absolutely fine. And remember, you can also say, you know, why are you in shorts? Valid question. And, you know, Ray just gave me a cuddle and went off skipping and was happy. And I thought a lot about that interaction over the day. And then when I went to come and pick Ray up, keeping in mind it's the tail end of the day, I'm shattered. I've dealt with all of the fires and the things that I would normally do in a day. And I was to pick up Ray and I was to get my older boys and I was to do the whole evening routine. And I knew that I was going to be sitting in traffic, and it's, you know, at 5:30 at night, it's that I've got three kids in three different locations right now, and I know that that will change, but it's really stretching me. It's really, really stretching me, and I'm still trying to navigate Arjun at 11 and a relatively new intermediate, which is an intermediate and a secondary school, so it's a huge, big jump. And so it's sort of 5:30 at night, and I went to pick Ray up, and I said, oh, Ray, where's your skirt? He said, oh, I don't know. And I said to the daycare teacher, look, where's Ray's skirt? And she, this is not against her, but I was very frustrated with her response. She just sort of goes, oh, well, he just had it. And here's me feeling the weight of the day and the weight of the next shift and knowing that every second that I spend in that daycare is just going to be extra time in traffic and just prolonging everything. And then she just sort of started to wander very slowly, like, oh, he just had it and it just might be over here, or it just might be over here. And I was just sort of like, oh, I was just feeling so frustrated, and I didn't want to leave without having a good look with it, but I was aware of all the pressure and all of the load, and I kind of just needed like a, hey, look, I don't know where it is. He did just have it. Chances are that it's like it's just been tucked away somewhere. You go and like I will let you know in the morning, or I'll let you know as soon as we find it, or something like that. And I even said to her, look, I'm in quite a hurry. Like I'm going to be sitting in traffic, and I've got two other children that I'm like are going to be waiting effectively for me. And I was even, was I annoyed that it was Ray's skirt? Yes, I was, because I was like, do you know what? Chances are in those social norms that another child has just taken it home, and like no one even thought to go, is that your skirt? Because we just wrapped it all into, well, you know, girls wear skirts. And yes, was I a bit upset that it was Ray's special skirt? I was, but it was so much more than that. It was just another thing that I was going to have to manage. And in the end, I had a good look, and I was just like, look, I'm going to have to go. Please try and find it. And, you know, I was quite frustrated because I wasn't left with any support with it. I'd already wasted by this point like 15 minutes and sort of got in the car. And, you know, when you're under so much pressure and so much load, and I was like, I'm going to have to remember to do this in the morning, and that's always like a rushed time for me, and just all of that. And to be honest, I just felt quite broken by it. And I messaged Kaz and I said, hey, like, if you have 5 minutes, can you just give me a buzz? Because here's the thing, when you're a mum, like, you don't get to be broken. You don't get to be upset. And, you know, but by the stage, I had Arjun in the car, and she rang me, and I spoke about it, and I shared how upset I was. And it wasn't about the skirt. Like, let me just get clear. It wasn't about the skirt. It was just about the overall fight. And like, it helped to talk to her. And afterwards, Arjun was sort of like, Mum, you know, like, what about it was really upsetting for you? And we've even done a whole podcast actually on the parenting paradox by Mother Pocket. And lo and behold, she had shared a post about, you're not broken, the system is broken. And when I read that, and as I was trying to explain it to Arjun, I was like, it's not about the skirt. I have done 12 years of daycare. 12 years. 12 years of astronomical fees. 12 years of battling morning drop-offs, of battling pickups, of sick kids, of conjunctivitis, of worms, of hand, foot and mouth, of all of the stuff, of no daycare being available on public holidays. Like, you name it, I have walked it, and I have done it like over and over and over again. 12 years. Do I need to add up the cost of that? And do not for a second get into the, will you chose this? If you haven't listened to my podcast on school holidays, you'll see that choice is an illusion. I'm sorry, I chose this because what's my other choice? Not be able to support my children, not to do fulfilling work, give up my career and my life's work and my passions? Like, come on, it's not choice. That is not a choice. We're operating in a system that literally suppresses us. And you know what? After 12 years, I'm actually broken. I'm broken from the broken system. And all of the weight of that, you know, all of it just kind of came tumbling down. But in recognizing that it wasn't me, that this insane mental load that we carry, and so that when it is something like a lost skirt, and you're sort of going, right, and now I need to console my child, and now I need to remember to possibly go and find a new skirt, and maybe I need to try and look for it in the morning. And, you know, Cass was like, you know, you can put it up on Story Park. So I put it up on Story Park, you know, like, just the extra extras on top of what is already an overflowing plate of things to try and remember and sort and problem solve and everything. Like, it's a lot. But like, to echo Anna's words, it is not us. It is not what we are trying to do. It is not the message of do less. It's actually understanding that the entire system is stuffed. You know, paying X amount every week just for our children to be looked after for the right to work, and to then have to justify that to everyone around us, to have to justify it, even to be able to go, well, my job brings in this and it can generate this and it's going to cover this. Like, what is going to give with that? And don't get me started on the irony that it is about a skirt. And it's my biological boy in a skirt who's happy as Larry to be in a skirt, who also had to face his own social stigma with a child his own age about that. Because of why? Because of the system that we're trying to operate in. Gender is all these tiny minor things. So is sexism, which I openly share, I talk about all the time. I've just ticked over 10 years. I just spoke about some of the most horrendous sexism and use of power that I had to overcome. And it happens all the time. And I think these little micro ones are harder because they're the ones that go, you go, is it me? Is it me? Am I doing the right thing? Should I be doing this? Why am I feeling this way? What is it actually going to take to change? Like, what is it actually going to take? When are we actually going to have better, flexible working options? When are we going to see that the motherhood penalty is so real? When are we going to recognize that the fatherhood bonus is equally real and it drives that inequality further? I don't have the answers for it, but I will keep talking about it because when we talk about it, it helps to reduce the isolation because systems that are designed to suppress thrive on the individuals feeling alone and isolated. And I know I'm burnt out from the daycare gig. I really, really do. I am literally counting down until Ray starts school to ease that pressure, to ease that load, to be able to close that chapter in my life. And it's not about daycare. I am insanely grateful for early childhood teachers. I'm insanely grateful for daycares. I wouldn't be able to do what I do without them. My children have been in daycare from like 10 weeks, 6 weeks and 8 weeks respectfully. They have learned so much there. But the whole system, the constant pull, the sick kid call and the pit that you feel in your stomach and then the guilt that you feel from that because your child is sick and needing to be picked up and all you can think about is the time off and the conversations that you're going to have and the fights that you're going to have to get them back in daycare and the stand down periods and the fact that you're paying for 3 days for something that you're not even going to use. Like, yeah. And as I said, I'm 12 years in and I'm like, I'm done. Like I am done. And not that I'm stepping into anything better with school and school holidays, but at least I won't be paying for that huge chunk each week. I will never forget the last year of my PhD where I was working full time to pay for 2 children in daycare full time. And I was paying more in daycare fees than I was in my rent. Like, if that is not a broken system, I don't know what is. Like, I actually don't know what is. So if you've had a week where you're fighting systems, gosh, I've had what feels like months of it lately, you're not crazy. You're not. You are not doing anything wrong. In fact, you are feeling the way that you are because you are fighting. You are fighting for your family. You are fighting for you. You are fighting for a better life for your children. You are fighting for more options in a system that says, well, it's your choice, but actually you really don't have a choice. You are not alone. And all those small things count. I cannot tell you the joy that I feel when I see Ray just be himself. I have no idea how long that's going to last. I feel like I'm on a ticking clock. And that very, very soon, the world, and it already is going to tell him how to be, is going to tell him what his place is as a biological boy and then a biological man. And that breaks my heart. All I can do is hope that I have done enough and I will keep doing enough to show them something different. And if that means I let him have his hair out as long as possible, I will. If he wants to wear a skirt, then I will. And I will at least have those conversations. Am I terrified of what I'm going to do when he starts school in less than 6 months, even though I'm counting down? Yes. I haven't decided. I don't know. I wish that that wasn't the position that I was in. I wish that I could just be like, Ray is as Ray is, and I don't have to change him to fit into this gendered world, which is suppressing us as women. When skirts are not inferior, a dress is not inferior. When we label it as just for a girl, we are. Still got my podcast coming on Fast Like a Girl. What I will say while we're on it, have you seen a Fast Like a Boy diet? Because I haven't. I wonder why that is. I wonder why we don't have a Fast Like a Boy diet. And it's got nothing to do with menstrual cycles, because girls don't have a menstrual cycle. So I'm a little confused. I'm going to save that rant for another week. You're not alone. The mental load is so real. If you have a day where you get tipped, I truly hope that you have someone that you can just be like, hey, I'm a little bit broken today. And I'm really grateful that I do. I think that should be part of everyone's friendship criteria, just quietly, because it's what gets us through. So I hope you enjoyed last week's really fun podcast. And if you're struggling with the mental load, as I said, you are not alone. You are operating in some very, very broken systems. I hope you can steal some little pockets or some little time for yourself, because, oh my gosh, do you deserve it. Take care, and I'll see you same time, same place next week. I just want to do a big shout out to our amazing 2024 sponsor. Momojo Kefir is an award-winning, tasty and highly nutritious probiotic kefir. It has over 100 billion live cultures and 4 delicious flavours. Natural, which is my favourite, mango, vanilla and strawberry. Looking after and protecting our precious gut health is at the core of my nutrition principles. And this kefir is just incredible for doing exactly that. The best time to take action for you and your well-being is today. Check them out at most of our major supermarkets and health food stores. And remember, you count and you are worth it.